This morning we're beginning our series, The Gifts of Christmas. Our focus passage you'll find in Luke, the second chapter, a very familiar passage for this time of year. And we're going to look at some meetings, some messages, and the meanings of those messages today as we wander into the holiday season. Let's begin reading, shall we? Verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now what's interesting here is this. The Romans, through the sword, had brought peace to the world simply because no one wanted to fight the Romans. They had conquered the known world. And so what's interesting is peace by the sword is okay. It's called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. But peace with the Lord never comes by the sword. It always comes by grace. It comes through mercy. It comes through faith. It comes through a cross. And more importantly than the cross, it comes through an empty tomb. And so what we see was the Roman citizenry, the kingdom of Rome, was called to a census. Now, it wasn't that they were really concerned about how many people there were. The Roman census had really two purposes to it. Well, three. One was to collect taxes. Sounds just like a government, doesn't it? Hey, y'all come to a party that you don't get to not come to, and be sure and bring your money. Secondly, was to have an idea of how many people, because when you're a kingdom and you have an iron boot on the neck of people, you want to know how many they are, so you'll have an idea of how to keep them under that boot. And then thirdly, not the Hebrews, but others, for inscription, being enlisted into the military forces. And so they call these people together for a census, so they can collect money, they can collect numbers, and they can collect warriors. And Joseph has to go and report. Now, Joseph and Mary, she was great with child. We have a lady today that's great with child. That's a fair and accurate statement, isn't it? Yes. So let me ask you, if Mitch goes, hey, honey, let's go for a road trip. Great with child goes, uh-uh. Do you know why? Because there's a lot of things that go into childbirthing, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later. Don't worry, this is a rated G message, so don't worry about that. But the message of submission we see here. Rome said, come and be counted. Submission to those in authority may not always be convenient. The truth is, it's very rarely convenient. Can I even go so far as to say this? Submission in its core is not convenient. Human heart does not by nature want to be submissive. Submission to those in authority may not always be convenient, but understand this, that God is able and willing to use the authority over you to bring about his purposes. Now, if someone goes to Mitch and says, Mitch, I want you to take your bride, great with child, all the way across the country. How about that? And Mitch goes, I don't really think she's going to want to go. And they go, well, here's the thing. If you don't, we just might come take everything that you own, and if we have a wild hair, we might kill you. That's motivation. Mitch goes, hey, honey, I know you don't want to go, and you know what? I don't want to go because I love you. But those bad guys, the government's making us do it. Consider this. In Micah, the 5th chapter, the 2nd verse says this, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the from ancient times. Now here's a question. Would Joseph had taken Mary on a 70-mile road trip to Bethlehem of his own accord? We don't know, but what we do know is that the authorities placed Mary and Joseph exactly where they needed to be to fulfill the prophecy given by the prophet Micah. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? My friends, you don't have to love the authority, but you have to understand this, is that the God that loves you is greater than that authority. And it just may be that God is allowing that authority to move you to where He wants you to be. Now, let's have a little bit of fun. Christmas is about having fun. I like having fun. You like having fun? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. So we're going to have a little reindeer game. Okay? How many cities in the United States are named after the ancient city of Ephrah? Or Ephah? Ephrah. How many say five? You guys are a bunch of cowards.
15,
thank you. That's terribly wrong, but thank you for playing. Two, three, anyone else? Four. Huh? None. Okay, we have zero. Anyone else? You said, no, you'd be the third none. And that would terribly affect our marriage. All right, here we go. There are actually three. There you go. You can collect your prize after church, Josh. But there you go. Three named after that city. Submission will often lead us to leave what is most comfortable and familiar to something that will call upon us to exercise faith. My friends, there is nothing wrong with familiarity. But understand this, that submission will oftentimes call us out of what's most comfortable for us to what is most purposed for God. My friends, you need to understand that following the Lord is an act of submission that will take you out of your comfort zone. If your entire life of faith is comfortable, my friends, you're not really stretching your muscles. And you really haven't put to sea yet, because the storms of life will test your faith. Just like Jonah went into the belly of the whale. Submission will always lead us somewhere that we may not have been before. But can we say this with all glory to the Lord? Those times that you submit to the Lord and you follow Him, have you ever been doing something for the Lord and you think to yourself, man, I'm doing this for the Lord and I feel great about it. And you think in your mind, man, why am I doing this? Well, because it's the right thing to do. There's no other cause. There's no other return. There's no other. It's just the right thing to do. Isn't that a joy? Submission will always take us away from what's familiarity. Everyone in today's message was moved by their submission. And my friends, everyone in this place must be moved by our submission to the Lord. Let's go ahead. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. We sang about them. They're famous. They're rock stars. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and in heaven and on earth, peace to those whom His favor rests. The message to the shepherds. Well, first of all, the shepherds were just living their lives. The life of a shepherd is hard. The life of a farmer is hard. But these men were out in the field tending the flocks by day and by night, and this was a 24/7, 365 gig. They didn't have paid vacation and all of those things. This was regardless of the elements, regardless of the time of year, they were out doing their job, just going about their day. God always will make a way. God will always make a divine appointment as we're living our lives. That's why Acts 1:8 tells us, as you're going, you don't have to make a special destination. I'll give you an idea. Yesterday, I was having breakfast. I like breakfast. I had three eggs, Ronnie. And after I went to a place that I don't usually go to. And after breakfast, I was going to step to the men's room. And as I was going, the cook comes down to the end of the counter. He says, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. He goes, you're Jimmy Vaughn, right? I go, yeah. He goes, you're the pastor of Authentic Life? I said, yeah. He goes, He goes, do you believe in coincidences? I said, no, not at all. I really don't. Because if you believe in a coincidence, then you believe in luck. And if you believe in luck, then there's no providence. I believe in providence. God has a hand. Well, he tells me a very brief story. And what was amazing is his story and my life story, there were some real parallels. And he goes, hey, he says, I went to church as a kid. He says, but I just can't understand this faith thing. He says, could I talk to you about this whole faith thing? And you know what my answer was? Not today, I'm too busy. I said, well, yeah. I said, I'd be honored to. And I gave him my cell number. I said, call me. I said, we'll talk. You see, submission will always allow you to be guided into God's plan. And they were out living their lives, and they were out living in a place that made them unclean to society. If you were going to announce the arrival of royalty, you would not start with the shepherds. Because by the mere act of shepherding, you were considered unclean socially. And you can imagine, right? Can you imagine what it's like to be a shepherd and all the shepherding things? So, to society, they were cast aside. Well, not even cast aside. They were kind of necessary evils. Have you ever had them? The shepherds were kind of necessary evils in the eyes of society. Now, what's interesting, and there's notes here for this is these shepherds, many believe, are the shepherds who tended the flock that produced the lambs for the temple sacrifice. Now, that's very important, okay? That's a very important job. But even in the light of the importance of their job, to those who were highly religious, they were considered set apart and unclean. And it even goes so far as to suggest this, is that when those shepherds, the sheep, were going to have their lambs, they would take them to a special place, a guarded place, a comfortable place, a cave, as it were, a carved out area, and they would lamb there. They would birth the little lambs there where they could tend to them, they could see them, and the priests from the temple could come down and examine them. Historians believe, many, that the very place where the shepherds would lamb is the very place where the Lamb of God lay. I don't have time to unpack it, but I gave you a note to it. The message of hope will meet us where we are, and the message of hope isn't dependent upon who we are. Amen? It'll meet us right where we are. If you could clean up and straighten up and act right enough to get right, then Jesus was a fool. The gospel, the good news, salvation will meet us right where we are, and it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It'll meet you right where you are. The angels met them right where they were. Now, the angels' message was simple. First of all, don't be afraid. Well, why would they be afraid? They're angels. Have you ever seen an angel? Have you ever seen God and displayed like this? I got to tell you, I'd be scared. And let me go one step further. Is when we begin to see holiness for what it really is, our sinfulness will cause us a bit of fear and trepidation. So these men see this angelic host who's going to make this proclamation, and it scared them. And the first words were, don't be afraid. My friends, can I say this? As it seems like our world is unraveling from the corners, don't be afraid. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same God that promises he'll see you through. Don't worry about the White House. Don't worry about The Hague. Don't worry. Your God is sovereign over all things. Don't be afraid. Don't be naive. Don't be foolish. But don't be afraid. That same God. And those same angels who saw those men so many years ago, don't be afraid, tells you today, don't be afraid. And he goes on, he says, I bring good news. What is the good news? Your God reigns and your Savior's coming. That's what the angel said. They said, we have good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Well, now, wait a minute, Jimmy. Does that mean everyone's going to heaven? Sadly, no. Well, then what do you mean great joy? Great joy in this, that everyone has the hope of heaven. That these men, as they think back to their ancestors and those people who lived by faith, their faith is about to be made whole. The great joy of a life lived with purpose and value. The great joy to be able to step into heaven one day when this mortal tent says enough's enough. What a great joy to be able to walk through Christmas and not worry about what's under the tree because of what I have in my heart. The great joy to do something so simple as hand candy out at a Christmas parade and make little kids smile. There were four little kids. They were just smart as whips. You know what they did? They had a blanket, and they got one on each corner, and they made a little net. I'm like, I'm giving you two right there. You're genius. Good news, my friends. Good news, the church is not dead. Why? Because the God of the church is not dead, and the Savior of the church is not dead. Amen. Don't be afraid. You have a Savior, a Messiah, the Lord. Let's go on, verse 15. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. Now, if the historians are true, and you look at the scripture, the angels didn't tell them where to find him. Can I suggest to you they knew where to find him? Just saying. And then the angel said this, they delivered exactly what God desired. The message of obedience is this, we don't get to give our opinion on God's counsel. Have you ever known someone who knows a whole lot about something? Huh? Yeah. Have you ever regretted asking someone who knows a whole lot about something? Uh-huh. And an hour later, you're going, because in your mind, you're going, yes or no? Ladies and gentlemen, I propose to you this, that the angels of glory who made this proclamation to the shepherds in the field knew so much more about Jesus than they told him. Can you imagine the resume? These angels who have spent eternity past with the Savior could have poured upon these men. Hey guys, just lay down because we're going to be here a while. The angels delivered exactly what God wanted them to deliver. And church, that's what God wants from us. We deliver His message, not our twist on His message, not our thought on His message, not our opinion on His message. We deliver the truth, and we let it be. Well, and then the shepherds, well, they sought what was promised. You know what? They found it. Can I say this? And I can because I'm the teacher. It's a rhetorical question. Do you know why so many Christians and those under the big tent called the church are so dissatisfied? Because they're looking for promises that they do not know about. You see, they come into the big tent called the church, and they come into this thing called Christianity, and they start trying to make it by what they feel or what they think and what other people say, and they never find the promises of the Word because they don't know the Word. You can't find the promises if you don't know what they are. KLTY will not produce biblical knowledge in your life. It'll inspire you. It may encourage you in what you know, but it's not enough. We as believers, the deeper, the wider, the grander satisfaction of your faith comes when you understand what God has promised and when you go looking for it. And you know what? It's right exactly what He said. The Bible says you can find joy in the midst of abject sorrow. And if you've ever stood beside a casket, if you've ever stood beside a grave, if you've ever stood in an ICU, and you find a joy in your heart that makes no sense under the circumstances, boom, you found the promise. When a loved one whose tent has betrayed them over and over for years and years, and they step into glory, and you go, Lord, it hurts to be apart, but it helps to know they're with you. Boom, you found the promise. You can't find what you don't know. We need to be students of the Word. They found it just as God said. And my friends, I promise you this, if you study God's Word and you submit to His will, you'll find it just like He says. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Did all of them agree with it? Oh, of course not. Can you imagine? The only way you get 100% consent is if you're the only one in the room. And then if you're me, you're still going to debate it. It's a joy. It's a curse. And all who heard it were amazed about what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all those things and pondered them in her heart. Now, Jacqueline, I've told you, I'm not man enough to be a woman. I'm not. To be great with child facing what's coming terrifies me, and I'm not even going to be there. It's true. I'm just saying what most of us guys think. But I am a dad. And Mitch, I know how you feel. If Mary just has 2% of understanding, can you imagine? It says she pondered these things, she treasured these things. I don't know about you, but the older I get in age and the older I get in faith, I tend to ponder things more. The value of just the being and the seeing. You see, sometimes, church, I think we just get too far away from the pondering. Christmas is 1,000 wonderful things. It's throwing candy at kids with a blanket. It's singing Christmas carols badly. It's 1,000 things to 1,000 people. But as a believer, it's a pondering of the truth. It's a pondering that the God of all eternity saw fit to wrap Himself in flesh. Why? He didn't have anything to prove. The Bible tells me that He wrapped Himself in flesh that He might die for me. You see, you can't have a cross without a cradle. Christmas is so much more. It's 1,000 great things. I love Christmas, and I wish it'd just slow down. But when we take time to ponder it in our hearts, it just gets sweeter by the year. And I don't know about you, but I want people to ponder it more. That's what I really want. Can you imagine the first and only virgin birth in all of history? The young lady who had been chastised by many in public and had been considered being put away by her groom-to-be. The one who, if she just has the smallest understanding of what's coming, knows that that child, that firstborn, will one day, not know which day, but will one day give his life for his people. Can you imagine delivering that child in the stables where lambing takes place? It wasn't how she planned it. It wasn't how she envisioned it. All of her family, all of her friends, all the people that she trusted are back at home, and here she is in this cave with her husband-to-be and this little one. It's a lot to ponder. It's a lot to ponder. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. How can you see it if you haven't been told? And how will you justify, how will you rectify it? How will you quantify it if you haven't experienced it? The things of faith are best shared because we've experienced it. When we meet Jesus on His terms, we cannot help. We cannot help. We cannot help but be moved. No one meets Jesus without the need of movement. Now, my bride met Jesus as a child. She's leaving to Beaver. My bride has never experienced the privilege of being spanked. Dad never had to do it. My dad had to have rotator cuff surgery. He had to become ambidextrous just to keep up with the need. Let me tell you this, friend. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is. When you meet Jesus on His terms, not what you think your terms should be, not what you feel like your terms should be, on His terms, you will be moved. And if you are not moved, my friends, I will say this and I will stand by it. Then you've not met Jesus on His terms. No change, no Jesus. No Jesus, no change. When we meet Jesus on His terms, church, the world loves to see people changed by Jesus. Now, they may not understand it, they may not agree with it, and they may not want it, but they like it. You know why? Because it's people doing what they say they believe. Our response when we meet Jesus on His terms is worship, thanks, and proclamation. You can't help. This young guy, this cook, had his hair up in nets. His face is like 6 hours grease over the grill. And he goes, this faith thing, I just don't understand. Can you tell me about it? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, huh. Yeah. You know why I can tell him about it? Because I'm walking in it. I'm living in it. And one day I'm going to die in it. And it's made a difference in my life. Will his life be just like my life? Oh, absolutely not. He doesn't want my life. But this is what I know. I met Jesus on His terms. And God has been changing me ever since. And He's not done yet. The only reason I'd love to be 100 is that I'd have 50 more years of transformation. Other than that, well, and the Cowboys might win another Super Bowl. Our response should be worship and thanks and proclamation. And what do we tell them? My friends, we should be students of the Bible. And all roads should lead back to the Word of God because it is the inerrant, unchanging, authoritative word of the living God. But the most powerful tool you have in your toolbox, the most wanted gift underneath your tree, the most wanted in that stocking is your story. Can you tell me the difference Jesus has made in your life? Now, I'm not completely sure how much this young fry cook knows of me. I know there's a little, but you know what? There was enough that in the middle of a busy work day on a Saturday morning, he happened, luckily, to see me. And you know what I know was the whole time I'm eating inside, he's going, I want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. I want to talk to him. What if he doesn't talk to me? I want to talk to him. You know why? That's this guy. and then to the glory of the Lord. The fear was outweighed by the desire of faith. And he walked all the way down that that cook station down to the very end. And I didn't even see him coming. He could have tackled me. I didn't even see him coming. I was kind of focused. You know, you don't buy coffee, you just rent it. I was focused. And if you don't get it, I'll tell you later. And boom, he hits you in that counter. He goes, "Hey, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah." And then he tells the waitresses, he goes, "Hey, I'll be right back." He's the only fry cook, so production has ceased. And he walks me all the way back to this little storage room where he can talk to me. And I'm like, "Well, I had never been back here before." My friends, the story of a transformed life is one of the most powerful things in the toolbox that we have. This Christmas, give that gift, would you? To anyone and everyone that'll listen to it. You may not have to give them the whole tree. Maybe you're just going to give them just a little bitty box, but just give them the story. Well, here's your action week for the step. Revisit the manger, and like Mary, treasure up all the things and ponder them. This is my challenge to you. Make time to just sit and ponder the cradle and all that it means. If you have children, you know what it's like. The joy, the fear, the uncertainty, the sacrifice. Ponder the manger in your heart. Ask God to make this part of the Christmas experience so fresh and so real and so raw in your heart that almost everything you see tends to take you there. Every song, every light. And ask God just to let that joy just ooze out of you. See, we don't have to manufacture it because the Bible says there's a living spring inside of us. And it just keeps producing.